Welcome, welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life, brought to you by GamerGoo. My name is Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Tuesday, December 15th, 2020, and boy, do we got some big stories today. Probably one of the biggest stories around one of the biggest video game releases this year. We're going to get to that here in a second. But as always, don't forget you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk at M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. You can also always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. And if you'd like to be a supporter of the show, you can find the link to our Patreon down below. You can join the Patreon, get exclusive access to our Enthusiast Life Discord, and get early access to the Patreon-only episode. Well, early access to the Patreon episode, which we're actually going to be recording here over the next few days. So it'll be heading out to patrons this weekend, and you can expect it in the Enthusiast Life feed about a week and a half from now. So be on the lookout for that. But let's jump in here to this big story that I've been talking about here. And that is, of course, that CD Projekt Red has put out a statement essentially apologizing for what has become of Cyberpunk 2077 on the PS4 and on the Xbox One, kind of on those base consoles. And I want to read some of the wordage here that they put out, because I think that it's kind of more important. I mean, you can go online and read it if you want, but here's what they said. They said, first of all, we would like to start by apologizing to you for not showing the game on base last-gen consoles before it premiered, and in consequence, not allowing you to make a more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Now, and then they go on to say this as well. They said that in the next 7 days, they will be putting out a hotfix that is supposed to essentially create some new improvements on there. They said together these should fix the most prominent problems gamers are facing on those last-gen consoles. But they do go on to say that, of course, it's not going to make it really look any better. It's going to be more for the issues of bugs and, you know, glitches, things like that kind of happening within the game. But then here's the shocking part that is kind of interesting. They said, for copies purchased digitally, please use the refund system of PSN or Xbox respectively, which, if you don't know, PlayStation Network really just does not allow refunds on digital games. However, they did, I think they are going to in this case. For box versions, please try to get a refund at the store where you bought the game. Should this not be possible, please contact us at helpmerefund@cdprojektred.com, and we will do our best to help you. Starting from today, you can contact us for a week up until December 21st, 2020. Wow. That's about all I can say to that. I mean, you know, CD Projekt Red is one of those companies that is best known for doing right by the players. And I guess you got to say they're doing right by the players here, right? Those players on those last-gen consoles saying, hey, we hear you. We're going to offer you a way out, you know, because a lot of times, think about it, games come out, you get as much flack as these CD Projekt Red is getting, and they just put out the patches and they just move on. I mean, the one that comes to mind definitely is Anthem, right? Anthem came out. So many people were upset with Anthem, the way that game ran, the way the game looked. I mean, hell, even Fallout 76 probably is even a better example, because Anthem really wasn't as bug-ridden. It was just kind of an empty shell of a game, where Fallout 76 had so many bugs, so many issues, so many glitches, and Bethesda just moved on like it was business as normal, putting out patches, and players were just kind of left to, you know, scramble, and the bad will was there. Or at least in this case, they're saying, hey, we're giving you the option. Like, you know, if you don't like this experience and you don't want to come along for the ride, I mean, for me, that's really what it was it's like, hey, you know, you may not be happy now. We live in the day and age where games release buggy, they release broken, essentially, but they ultimately get fixed, right? CD Projekt Red is saying, if you don't want to come along on that journey because you purchased it here day one and you were misinformed, you were just not informed when you made that purchase, we're giving you a week. You have till December 21st, and you can return it. And if you want to come back later, maybe at some point, great. If not, it is what it is. I think that's the right way to do it. And I, you know, again, this little indie studio of CD Projekt Red that still, I think, is only a ragtag team of developers over there. A lot of people forget that. And, you know, that's kind of one of the things that's been kind of thrown to the wayside here in all this mix is, yeah, it's 7 years, but they're a small team. They're not a huge team. And that's what was so amazing about The Witcher 3, was to put out a game of such high quality that, and to come from such a small studio. Now, in this case, I believe it's Warner Brothers Games published this. So they kind of did have a big, big name publisher on for this. But I think that's cool. You know, the only experience of this that I can think of in my head. I mean, that I've really had an experience with. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of indie games out there, but on kind of this level is Epic Games with Paragon. And when they shut that down, they offered refunds. I literally got over $100 worth of refunds on all the skins that I had purchased through Paragon, because they were like, hey, we're shutting the game down. We know that's not really going to be in the favor of our players, so we're going to do the right thing and say, hey, get your money back. And I think, Crucible from Amazon actually just did that recently. So here you have, instead of this online free-to-play game doing it, this is a straight-up game. You can go to this brick-and-mortar store and buy it, and they're going to help you out. I'm interested in that. Like, you know, what were those discussions, especially for the physical copies? I mean, I haven't seen anything, but I wonder if you go to a GameStop and you try to return the game, are they taking it back, or are you having to go through this email that CD Projekt Red has provided? You know, I bought my game from Amazon. Is Amazon taking physical games back? I don't know. You know, look, I don't want to return my copy of Cyberpunk, because I know when that next-gen copy or next-gen version comes out on the PS5 and the Xbox One X, the Series X, it's going to be good. You know, it's going to be up to par. And actually, I tweeted this yesterday. Like, it's funny. I tweeted that I was basically like putting the game away, knowing that there's a better version that I'm going to be able to play 6 months down the line, and I'm going to come back to it. And just as quickly as I tweeted that out, our Discord lit up. And, you know, I think it was Classic Squid put in there that, you know, that they had offered this refund and put out the statement. So, you know, I'm okay waiting. I think I'm all right just saying, you know what, I'm going to sit by the wayside. You know, there may be other players willing to do that. Because in the end, I mean, I kind of bought the game at a discounted price anyways, which makes me wonder, that's another thing I haven't really thought about, how this game, the physical versions of this game, has been on sale like all year long. I got mine for $45. From Amazon. I bought it, two months ago, because I bought Valhalla at the same time. Why were they selling the physical copy at $45 for a game that wasn't even out yet? It's kind of weird when you think about that, right? Like, maybe Amazon was getting the heads up ahead of time. It's a strange situation, but, you know, in the end, I think CD Projekt Red doing the right thing here. And, you know, for players that feel a little burned, hey, you got to play the game a little bit, get your refund, maybe come back either when you get that next-gen system or, you know, maybe when the game does get a little bit better and they're able to kind of iron out some of those bugs and it seems a bit more playable to you, you know, because that's the thing. In the end, the game is playable. Like, you know, sure, you got these little bugs and they're more nuisances, but in the end, they're going to get that kind of squared away. I think the biggest issue really is that they misrepresented, Or, with those base consoles, they didn't even misrepresent anything. Or they just didn't represent what players were going to be giving. And that's where I think a lot of the outrage is. I mean, sure, believe me, there's still that whole vocal sect that is just like, I don't like this game. And they're just being the internet. But, you know, I think that's what really is at the root of all this, is that they didn't represent what the game was going to be on those other consoles. And that's where I think a lot of folks are just kind of a little bit upset about it. You know, especially in a year where you look at some games that are out like Ghost of Tsushima, and you look at, you know, hell, even Last of Us, or, I mean, you look at what Red Dead Redemption 2 did 2 years ago. You know, those games are gorgeous on the consoles. And so people were expecting that. They were never shown what Cyberpunk was going to be, and then suddenly they get it, and it doesn't look like that. That's where I think, you know, people being upset. But again, indie studio, right? They're not a massive studio like Sucker Punch making Ghost of Tsushima. Like, they're just not, or they're not, you know, Rockstar making Red Dead or Grand Theft Auto. It's, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt as well. You got to remember that, but. Hey, gamers be gamers, right? That is what it is. A kind of a stealth drop today that I had no clue, and I just want to mention this because I don't know how many people know that this is coming out, but if you are a Game Pass member, there is campaign DLC for Gears 5. I saw this review go up yesterday, and I was like, what? No clue this was coming out. It's included with Game Pass. I'll tell you, I enjoyed my time with Gears 5. I mean, you get what you expect. I mean, it's a Gears of War game. So you're just out there just blasting, you know, being the giant meathead, just going around just blasting, you know, the aliens, the enemies. But it's fun, you know, for what it is. And it's called Gears 5 Hive Busters. It's supposedly going to be an origin story, and it follows this kind of team that I guess we're in the co-op mode of Gears 5. So you kind of get some insight into those characters. That's Keegan, Lonnie, and Mac are their names. They were kind of in that escape multiplayer co-op mode. And yeah, you get to play as those guys. And from kind of reading the review that I read, it seems like it's much shorter, much more compact. I mean, Gears 5 definitely, after a while, I don't want to say it overstayed its welcome, but it was one of those games where it's just you're kind of doing the same thing over and over. So it took me a little while to get through it because I remember, like, you know, you play for like an hour, hour and a half, and it's like, okay, I'm done. You know, I've had my fill. You come back to it. This, you know, almost seems like this is, I don't think it's of the length of like a Miles Morales, but you're getting that. You know, it's that smaller, more compact, concise experience in that game. So that's where with Gears 5 Hive Busters, you have this smaller campaign. And I mean, like I said, the best part, it's included with Game Pass. So I don't know when I'm going to get to it, but probably at some point, because I'm like, man, I'll jump back into some Gears. Why not? You know, it's included with Game Pass. I got it. I got to install it. I know that much. But of course, it is on PC and on the console. So check that out if you're a Game Pass member. And if you enjoyed Gears or just enjoy Gears in general, I think it's something that, you know, you probably would enjoy. Kind of switching gears just a little bit. We're going to get back some more video game stuff here in a second. But I do want to talk about this news story about The Office. You know, the streaming wars continues, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this. Discovery Plus is now a thing. It's another streaming service from, you know, the Discovery network of shows. So you got Discovery, you got, you know, I don't know, History Channel, all that stuff kind of thrown in there. Another service, of course, just what we needed, right? Another service coming. You know, what's kind of weird about that one when I saw it was a lot of those networks that are included in that are already have their own apps. And that's what's kind of been weird about this whole transition of all these channels coming up with their own services is like you kind of already had them, especially like in Discovery's situation. But is what it is, right? So The Office is moving to Peacock. So The Office, I know, has been on Netflix. I know for the longest time. My brother and sister-in-law, like, they watch The Office nonstop. Like, it's always out in their house. My wife and I love The Office. We enjoyed it. If we see it on TV every once in a while, we'll put it on and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when that happened. But I have not watched that series from start to finish, really, since I've watched it when it was on TV. Believe me, I love The Office, but it's just not a show that I sat down and have watched from start to finish again. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law watch it from start to finish, like, all the time. All the time. Now, I'm wondering what they're going to do now, because starting in 2021, The Office is headed to Peacock, which is $5 a month for the ad-supported, $10 for the ad-free version. And the weird thing they're doing is seasons 1 through 2 are free. So anybody can go in there and watch those original 2 seasons if you want. But seasons 3 through 9 are included on the premium, which is the paid version of the service. Now, the interesting thing, and this is where I think it's kind of cool, because sure, you could go watch The Office on Netflix. You watch The Office, it is what it is. But a lot of these services aren't doing this. What they're doing is they're adding these, what they're calling super fan episodes, which are special extended cuts of various episodes from seasons 3 through 9 that feature previously deleted scenes and other new footage. So a lot of the, when we get these series on these streaming services, you just kind of get like whatever was on TV, right? That's all you get. But here they're adding kind of these additions, which makes me think, like, has this content been available before? Is this stuff that was just included on a DVD release or a Blu-ray? Which I know when FX had The Simpsons, and I remember going in there and they had that like Simpsons channel or Simpsons World, I think they called it. You could go in there and listen to the audio commentaries that were on the DVDs, and they provided you all that. So you could go in there and hear, you know, Matt Groening and all the whole team talking about, or Conan O'Brien on the, you know, the monorail episode. He was on that. So it was kind of cool that they did that. I don't think Disney Plus does that. And that, see, that's something that's almost worth paying for, you know, because you're getting more than just the series. You know, sure, the, you know, the company has every right to charge for the series, but you know, if they add in those little additions, I think it makes it more worthwhile to spend the money. And I wonder if that's something we're going to start seeing moving forward now on most of these shows. Like, you know, could Hulu do something like that? Would Disney do something like that? Like, you know, like right now when you buy Rise of Skywalker or any of the Star Wars movies, when you buy them digitally, you get all those DVD features. I don't think those things are included on Disney Plus. I'm just going to be honest and say I haven't checked in a while, but I want to say in the beginning they weren't. I think that's things that could justify paying a little bit more money, is giving you those things. Because, I mean, that was part of the reason of even buying the DVD box set. That's still the reason. Like, you can go watch The Office, but if you get all those extended features and commentaries and all that on the DVD, super fans, that's what they want. I don't know. I think that's something we might start seeing. So, you know, Peacock, of course, making the shift there, and who knows what else. I mean, NBC, again, it's their show, right? So all these shows are going to be making their way to Peacock and jumping off these other services. So if you're an Office fan and you want to get one more big run through, now's the time. Start watching The Office now. And finally today, I do want to bring up, shifting gears back to video games. This is a crazy story, and I want to bring it up because I know back when Chris and I were doing the show, kind of one of the last weeks of the show, I think we did, we actually talked about this game, and that is EVE Online. And I want to bring it up because it's just an example of just how crazy this game is, and it continues. And, you know, back then we talked about how there are massive wars happening. Well, literally right now as we're speaking, there's a massive civil war happening in EVE Online. The war, as of right now, has cost over 700,000 real-world dollars in digital property. So players in the game have lost real money, we're talking here, U.S. money, over $700,000. There's more than 300,000 players embroiled in this war. It's the entire galaxy fighting and battling. It's just incredible. They said that it's, just all the major players, I guess, in this are the Goon Swarm Federation, I guess, who have a bunch of friendly alliances, make up this coalition called the Imperium. And I guess they're a pretty prominent, group here within EVE Online. And this all started back when something called the Test Alliance got involved. And now they have this civil war kind of raging and everybody picking sides and all these different groups, you know, forming their alliances and picking allegiance. And they're just battling. It's all just happening. And it essentially, this is a quote from one of the players. He says, the reality is, to a degree, that it is a war to the death. So there you go. And see, like, that's why that game, I've always wanted to get embroiled. Like, I would love to be a part of that. No, I don't want to be losing real world money, but just the idea that a game pulls people in so much that they're literally losing hundreds of thousands of dollars, to me, is crazy. Now, granted, you got 300,000 players. I'm sure, you know, that 700,000 is probably only the top 1-2% of players in the end. You know, the whales playing that game, losing massive ships. And those people losing that are probably perfectly fine. Because if you're spending gobs of money on a game like this, you have a lot of disposable money, and it's okay. I don't know. I just think it's great. And to see that story today just kind of made me smile. Like, the video game world has many problems, but I think EVE Online is not one of those problems. I think it's just a shining example of what's possible, with video games. It's sure, it's people losing money and that sucks. But I just think it's a lot of fun to kind of step back and be like, yep, that's a part of the gaming community, and gamers are crazy. Like, it's always going to be that way. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me today, guys. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring story-wise. Big thanks to GamerGoo, of course, for supporting the show. Go check out GamerGoo.com. You can use my promo code TEL, T-E-L. Save yourself 10% off your order over there. You can find that link down in the show notes. Remember, that is that antiperspirant for your hands, which, by the way, I've been having to wear, man. I've been playing some Destiny 2 Beyond Light. I don't know. I might have mentioned that I grabbed the Digital Deluxe Edition, so I got all the upcoming seasons. The bug has bitten me again. We'll talk about that tomorrow, some Destiny 2 tomorrow. And I also, speaking of space tomorrow, I think we're going to talk about a tabletop RPG that I played over this weekend with Lagnus and Nelius from our Discord chat. And something that, man, I had a blast. And I actually can't stop thinking about jumping back into that world. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So, guys, as always, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Marturka, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And, of course, you always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great rest of your day. And we'll catch you next time.